Welcome to Dealcast, the voice of Merger Market, the world's premier publication about mergers and acquisitions. I'm Juliana Needham. I'm a journalist who's been covering M&A for a decade. Now, it's been a bit of a bumpy ride in the stock market over the past week or so, and I think that's putting it mildly. But how far has that volatility spread? Well, today we're heading to Sydney to find out about the impact of Donald Trump's tariffs on the Australian market and also how the Australian stock market is faring more broadly. I spoke to Louise Weihart, who's a journalist for Merger Market in Sydney. And just to point out, we recorded this episode on Friday, the 11th of April. Hi, Louise. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Julie. My pleasure.
So it's been a bit of a roller coaster the last 2 weeks, certainly the last week with Donald Trump's tariffs. Could you give us a high level overview of how those tariffs have affected the Australian share market?
Absolutely. And I think the first thing to say is that the Australian share market has followed the US share market very closely. I suppose that's been the trend globally. But the interesting thing about Australia is that when he first started with these tariffs, which was like a week ago, what a difference a day makes, Australia only had 10% tariffs, so one of the least affected. Then when he paused his tariffs now, a couple of days ago for 90 days, it actually didn't affect Australia at all because we were still on the 10%. Yet the stock market rallied and didn't rally in exactly the same way. So I think that's interesting to note from a tariff perspective. And I think also it's just the general uncertainty. So, you know, the tariffs and whatever decisions are made are bad enough, but it's just whatever's made doesn't really matter. It's just the general uncertainty that's affecting all the markets, including the Australian market. Two particular issues that I think relate to Australia specifically, and I mean, this is general as well, where lots of people have spoken about, you know, rather than the exact tariffs, it's the ripple effect that they will have, and it will depend on what other countries do in response to the tariffs that are, you know, put onto them. So basically, will Trump start taking the to change the tariffs on pause for everybody except China, besides Mexico and Canada, but in this new round, China. So those tariffs have actually been raised to 145%, which effectively means you're really not trading. But the implications for Australia are that China is one of our biggest trading partners. In fact, 1/3 of all our exports go to China. So that is going to impact us, even though the tariffs on us are 10%. The other thing, and this was news that just came in this morning, Trump said pharmaceuticals are next. So 50% of Australian pharmaceutical exports go to the US. So that's not going to make the markets happy. And that was just this morning.
So it's incredibly difficult to cover this, and it must be incredibly difficult if you run a multinational business to work out how trade is going to work in the future, or even make any decisions when there've been so much change backwards and forwards. So yeah, I think it's a tricky one all round, but interesting that it's spread so far to Australia and the kind of the different impacts as well as some similarities. Could you perhaps go back and talk about the Australian IPO pipeline? How was that looking before the tariff situation impacted the stock markets?
Yes. Yeah, so basically, I mean, you know, once everyone knew Trump was coming in, the uncertainty was there already, and Australian deal makers were, you know, already cognizant of the underlying risk and what's going to happen. But that aside, there were still definite green shoots because the Australian stock market has been declining actually for the last decade anyway. And one of those green shoots that probably would have given the market a lot of confidence was the IPO of the Virgin Airline, which is owned by Bain Capital, Australia's second largest airline. They've been trying to IPO that for years. The last time they canned the IPO was in 2023. So there were reports that they were going to IPO. So that was positive. Then another sector altogether was retirement living. A company called Gem Life that has a 31% Singaporean owner. And this was just a couple of days ago on the 8th of April, where they actually came out and said, yep, we're considering our strategic options. And that does include a possible IPO. So in the middle of all this, they're saying, yes, we will consider that. Earlier in March, there was a mattress retailer, and then there's this big veterinary services company. And, you know, the talk there was IPO is a most likely outcome. So what's happened this week, though, has cast a shadow over all of that. And now, you know, all our advisors and the people we are speaking to are saying people are going to rethink. There's more uncertainty. It's going to be much harder to do a book build. So, you know, and this is on top of all the cyclical issues, global, macro, still affecting everyone, and especially in Australia, where interest rates are still very high and we've only had one tiny interest rate cut. So it has been, and I guess the talk has been, it's going to push the IPO timeline out again. So some are saying, I mean, who knows really? So the one guy goes, it's going to be second half. Then the other guy goes, oh, you know, it could be 6 months. It could be 12 months. It just depends how, you know, motivated the sellers are. So who really knows?
And can you just talk through a bit more about the decline in listings that you've seen and maybe explain why that is?
Okay. So if we look at listings over the last 10 years, there has been a decline. I'll just look at the most recent ones. And this is actually quoting a local accounting firm, HLB Mann Judd, that has been tracking the IPO market since 2004. So for 20 years, they've been looking. And, you know, if we look at it, 2021, there were 191 IPOs, which was in fact the highest number in the past two decades. But it hasn't only been going downhill since, but it's been catastrophic almost. And in 2024, was 29, which was the lowest number in the past 20 years. So, you know, that's dramatic enough if you just look at that. But there's another factor, and I'm not sure if it's specific to Australia, if it's a global trend. I think there is an element of global trend to that. But there are a lot more companies being taken private in takeover deals. And that's been a trend for many years now and growing. And in fact, a lot of the deal makers that I've spoken to recently believe there's going to be even more of those, even less listings and more of those. And just an interesting aside about Australia, at the moment, there are three ASX-listed companies in play. All three have had three rival bidders, which is pretty unusual. Two are financial services companies. One is a cybersecurity company. So in trying to understand all, you know, the ASX and what's going on, I think there are two components. There's the cyclical component, which is affecting everybody, market dynamics, COVID-19, just recovering from that, then the geopolitical. Inflation, interest rates, global trade, global wars, all of that stuff. But there's also a structural element. And in Australia, that has played out in that there is much more access and availability of alternative capital solutions. So for one example is there's been a growing venture capital ecosystem. And more recently and more importantly, it's been the growth of the private credit market. And that's grown significantly in Australia over the past few years. So as someone pointed out, if a company could do a 20 million IPO, then they will definitely be able to get private credit. So why would they go through the hassle of an IPO when they can get the money without the listing costs very quickly, up to 4 weeks? And because that ecosystem is growing, often you can get that at similar rates to traditional debt. So it's not always that expensive. There's also another thing in Australia, which is, I guess, you know, typical traditional concerns with listing, which is the costs, the bureaucracies, the disclosure, the governance burdens. But especially now, there are more governance burdens with ESG, climate change, reporting. That's impacting companies a lot. It's another deterrent. And our corporate regulator, ASIC, has actually expressed concerns. So they've kind of said they think these issues are more cyclical, but they are still worried about the future of public markets. And they issued a discussion paper in February to see what can be done about all of that.
Thank you. And certainly some of those issues are reflected in the UK stock market and I think more broadly as well in Europe. I think we're seeing fewer listings all round. Could you just briefly round that up and what the future looks like for Australian listings and the ASX?
So the good news is that there is still a future for the ASX. It's a well-respected, stable global exchange. The ASX private markets here probably need to evolve, and there's room for both of them.
And give us a bit of good news to finish on.
The good news is all that glitters is gold, and there has been a flight to gold stocks on the ASX today. Australia has a very large mining industry and a very large gold mining industry.
So it's all been very good news for gold miners. Great. Good to talk to you, Louise. Thanks very much. That was Louise Wyhart, who's a journalist for Merger Market based in Sydney. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the show, please follow it. And if you're listening through Apple, please rate and review the podcast. If you'd like to find out more about what we've been talking about, have a look at the show notes. Join us again next week.